been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win.
Welcome to the Shrimp Tank Podcast, broadcasting live every Thursday. We are live at studio today. It's a little better than yesterday. I don't know, in February we got to 87 degrees or something like that. My stars, what's going on? Huh? You guys burning up in February? You ready for that?
Ready for spring.
Yeah. So this is the internet radio show for entrepreneurs, whether you're a seasoned business owner looking to get to that next level or a young aspiring entrepreneur. Our show brings you Houston's best and brightest business owners. And in my co-host today, my esteemed colleague, Dr. John Newbold from the College of Business, Sam Houston State University, Department of Entrepreneurship. What's up today, John?
Oh, not much. Things are going well.
He told me to quit calling him Dr. John, you know. I don't know. Catherine says it's a respect thing, right?
All right?
You know, formal. So I don't know. I might slip up and call you Dr. John, but yeah. And today, our special guest is the proprietors of Adams Transfer and Storage Company. I'm excited about this interview today, guys, because we've got pretty much the Adams family here. We got Jack, Larry, and Bobby Adams, and their company, Adams Transfer and Storage Company, is more than 50 years old. And you guys have been, I guess you moved most of the people in the Woodlands one time or another, right?
Seems like it.
Yeah. So, and that is Bobby right there. And, you know, I either Bobby was jazzed up at the Super Bowl or whatever, but he's got some little vocal challenges, but he's coming in loud and clear. And then we have Uncle Jack.
Yes.
Adams. And Jack, you've been around the longest of the three of you, right?
I go back to when the first one opened, yes.
And the first one that, this was your father, right?
That's correct. Homer.
Homer.
This was back in 1964 in Bryan.
In Bryan. Okay. So one of the things that made me excited about your interview is that very few businesses last into future generations, and that you guys are going on three generations. Do you guys have sons? Yeah,
yes.
And they you grooming up to sons?
A 25-year-old son, that's one of our drivers.
Yeah, yeah.
And a nephew.
How does he get the cush job of being a driver? He doesn't have to pick up the heavy stuff?
Oh, yeah. They probably do most of the work.
Good strapping lads, I'm sure. So we're potentially going to go four generations with this or more, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting. I'm excited to do a deep dive on your story today. But before we do that, Dr. John Newbold, could you just tell us a little bit, if our listeners are unfamiliar with the Department of Entrepreneurship at Sam Houston State University, just a little bit about that program, because, you know, it hadn't been around forever.
I was going to say it's only been around for, I think, several years, at least 10 years, but it's certainly in a kind of a renaissance right now. We're trying to really kickstart it. Get it going to the next level. And again, we've got Dr. Jamie Collins now, the director of it, and there's a lot of big plans to try to get more involved in the community more involved with local businesses.
Well, it's a great way to do it. And Sam Houston State University represents. We have had either you or Jamie Collins or Chip Matthews on the show here a number of different times. So, and Catherine's working on the dean of the College of Business, Mitchell Museum, right? You going to get him on the show? Yeah, and bring us some students down. You know, we're not that far from Huntsville, 35-minute drive down. And so we're excited about what's going on at the university, and we're excited about entrepreneurship. You know, guys, I don't know if you know you know what you think about it, but with the big change of regime in Washington with the election of Donald Trump, were you happy about that as business owners?
Yes,
very happy. I see some smiles, Larry. Yeah, happy. And let's maybe kick off the conversation here and just ask, you know, if somebody from Donald Trump's Department of Commerce were to call you up and say, hey, how can Washington support small business owners? What would you tell them, Jack?
I would look for less regulations and open it up where we can perform our jobs with quite so much oversight.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so much of that goes on for small business owners. And for smaller companies, it's more difficult.
Yeah, and so Dr. John, didn't Trump take a swipe at that already, right out of the gate?
Yeah, he did. And I was gonna ask you guys, what hasn't there been an increase in regulations on the trucking industry in general, and has that affected your business? I mean, have there been new rules or anything in terms of how you operate the trucks or how the drivers operate or anything like that?
Well,
we got to think about that.
You got to get
that'd be Larry's department right over there.
Yeah. So really, that's what I've heard. I've heard that they've tightened up on how many hours a driver can, and then, they want to make life safe.
Yeah,
right?
That's what I mean. They have safety in mind, but I mean, between regulations and the taxes, it's been a challenging 8 years. So.
Yeah, and not only that, I think it affects, if it affects your clients, it affects us as business owners. And so we've asked that question to other guests that have been interviewed, and with you, the consensus that we seem to hear and feel is that, as Jack said, cut the regulation and, cut our taxes and get out of our life and let us run our businesses. And, I certainly could attest to that in our business here. And so, yeah, so we're off to a great start with the, hopefully the new economy. You think about we had a period of malaise through the Jimmy Carter years, and I've often said it took a Jimmy Carter to get us a Ronald Reagan, and maybe it took a Barack Obama to get us a President Trump. And so did we tell you that we're not afraid to talk politics or, religion?
That's fine.
We're not politically, correct or anything like that. I'm so sick of that.
It's
been
a problem.
I'm learning that.
So it doesn't mean we hate Democrats or anything like that. It just means hey, let's all put our thinking cap on. Let's be smart business owners, I think that we need to be proud to be entrepreneurs because we're the job creators. We should be celebrated. Unfortunately, the narrative seems to be sometimes that the business owners are the enemy. So anyway, with that in mind, let's jump into your story a little bit. And who wants to lead off a little bit and tell us, what's going on in your business right now that you'd like some of the listeners to know about Adams Transfer and Storage Company? Is it busy or slow or what's?
This is our downtime. First of all, I really like to speak a lot, but after the Super Bowl, I'm just thinking as well as I ought to be. I think things are looking up. I am looking at a lot of jobs here lately. I'm looking looking at 3 to 4 jobs, people moving, whether it's local or out of state. And those are all going to be booking around the 1st of March. And so things are already looking up. I think we're going to have a really busy year, busy summer.
Yeah, so we all know when the real estate market gets popping, that's when you guys get popping because homes are selling, people are moving, and a lot of times, waiting for school to let out.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
And then you guys, I guess the summertime, if we asked you to come on the show, you'd tell us, hey, we're wall-to-wall, can't do it. But right now, you were able to work us in, and we appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Fabulous. So, and being in the market as long as you've been in the market here, tell us a little bit about what people know about your brand, the Adam, because I assume by now people call you and say, hey, you did my last 3 moves. How did you get to a place where you're that established?
It amazes me. We moved a lady just about a year ago who my dad moved back in 1975 within Conroe, and that really it makes me feel real good that we're still around. And I've been moving some families since I was 16 and moved them many, many times. And just being around and it's just neat. It's just really neat to be a part of it.
So I guess working with them, a relationship gets...
Absolutely.
And trust.
Correct.
Right? Because it sounds like we talked in the kitchen downstairs a little bit, but you guys are, you run a quality business and it's relationships, and then that causes people to call you back. I had a good experience last time. Let's do it again.
Right, right. And that's the main thing. That's what keeps us going, is not so much just being in, the reason we're in business as long as we have been is just from taking care of the customers. Not that we maybe did a perfect job, but if we make it right.
And do you, how do you keep everybody focused on taking care of the customer? I would think, because you've been around a long time, so that takes a real commitment to trying to make sure. I would guess that every mover, every person who's working a truck understands what the commitment is, and I think Jack alluded to it before as doing things the right way. So I was wondering if you could talk about, you know, what the right way is and what some of the things are that, that Adams does. That
don't break my stuff, man.
That makes you, yeah. I guess that's the main thing. But could you talk a little bit about what is the right way? And
I'd say it starts by taking care of your employees.
Amen.
The
we'll talk about that a little bit, Bobby. Like, how do you take care of your employees?
Chris Schreck, he's been with us probably as long as I've been with us. Mm-hmm. He's one of our course top drivers. John Wright's been with us probably, what, Larry, 15, 20 years? And I didn't mention, but Chris has been with us 30 years. I mean, we're getting older. He's getting older, but you grow up in the business. He's pretty strong. And he, my son, he's also one of our drivers. He's been with us a while, of course. And we've just had good longevity. My dad's first employee, Lindsay Mangus, started with my dad in 1975 and just retired 10 years ago.
So to have those sort of longevity and relationships, you got to have each other's back.
Correct. Absolutely.
Right.
And we're more of a family than just bosses and employees.
And that's cool because it's a, you know, we live in a transactional sort of world, right?
Right.
Or, you know, but you guys are run, operate a family business based on family values. And I like what you said, Bobby, is that, you know, it starts with taking care of the, you know, the people within in the beginning because, you know, you hear it all the time. The customer's always right. I don't believe that. I do not believe that. That's contrary. You know, people say the customer's always right. No, I believe what's right is right. You know, and sometimes the customer's wrong and somebody needs to tell them, hey, you know what? Maybe we can't do business. Maybe you have unreasonable expectations of me. Maybe, you know, you're a toxic sort of relationship. I don't want any part of them. Not that he would say that to somebody, but you know what? Take care of your people first. Take care of your people. People take care of your business. I think that's a common success principle that we hear here on the show. And, so I'm inspired by you guys because your business has had longevity. Dr. John, how long does most small businesses, you know, when they start out, what's the average longevity?
Well, about 50% of them will fail within the first 3 to 5 years. So a lot of them just never make it past a couple of business cycles.
Yeah, and then things change too, you know, and you know, look at Blockbuster. I mean, they were big. They were around for a long time, and then one day they're gone. I think as long as people have stuff and houses and moves, you guys are going to be okay, right?
It's going to be one of those businesses that will always be with you.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. So, I've lived in how many houses? 4 or 5 different houses, and been here for 21 years. So we move every 5 years, whether we need it or not. So we need to know you guys anyway. I wouldn't think of it calling anybody else. And producer says we need to run to a commercial break. We're going to be right back here. Listen to the Shrimp Tank podcast broadcasting to you live from studio. Don't forget you'll be able to download a complete replay of our show at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. And don't forget you can find all of our shows on iTunes. Adams Transfer and Storage Company has over 50 years of proven service in the Woodlands and greater Houston areas. Contact us for all your moving and storage needs. You can reach us at 936-756-0025 or on the web at movewithadams.com. And we're back live in studio. We're with Jack, Larry, and Bobby Adams of Adams Transfer and Storage Company. Learning about their journey as an entrepreneur, a family business over 50 years old, built on family values. We got three of you here. Probably there were more people wanted to come, but you need somebody out doing the jobs and keeping the moving going. We have Dr. John Newbold at the College of Entrepreneurship at Sam Houston State. And Dr. John and I want to learn a little bit more about your business and your journey as an entrepreneur. And so I'd like to ask this question to start us off. You guys run your business off of a business plan, or what's your business strategies? What are those like?
Well, I'll start with Jack knows my granddad's business plan better than I did.
Yeah, and actually I would say when my dad started the business, it didn't have a business plan. They probably weren't that many business plans associated with small business startups. Back in the 60s.
Plan was make money.
That was the deal. Dad had a philosophy of what he called checkbook accounting. If I've got money in my checkbook, I'm doing all right. If I don't, then I need to work harder, get more business. And as the business grew, you had to evolve out of that philosophy. And I know when my brother opened up down here in Conroe, when they expanded and he opened up down here, they had to become more formal with their business planning and looking at profit and loss statements and those kind of things, which mm-hmm. they did. You know, how much of that was done afterwards as far as rewriting a business plan and those things, I'm really not sure if they did. But sitting down and talking with your partners, as Bobby, I think, and Larry do from time to time, probably once a week, I think they said, is helpful to keeping up with what's going on. And it's hard for small business owners to take time to do that, I'm afraid.
Yeah, they're busy running the business.
Yes.
But I'm curious, going back to when you opened up in Conroe, what thinking went into that decision? Why did you decide you need to expand to another market like that?
College Station and Bryan were pretty small. Because of A&M was starting to expand, the area was starting to grow as well. But one thing my brother and my father saw was that Montgomery County was growing extremely fast, and the Woodlands was just opening up, and they saw a great opportunity to come down here and get into a completely different marketplace. And it was dramatically different than College Station and Bryan, quite frankly. The moves that my brother did in the first 6 months when he opened up down here were far larger than we'd ever done in the College Station Bryan market.
I'm no moving genius, but I think I could make more money moving an Exxon executive than I could a college student up there. But, you know, yeah. Hey, what do I know, right?
Right.
So this is showing up for you guys, too, because the Better Business Bureau recognized you as a pinnacle winner. And then also you have a professional moving industry association, and they've recognized you in their best of the best sort of a set of awards and recognition.
Yes, sir. Last 11 years, I think, with the BBB, we've earned an award.
Yeah, yeah. So I like what you're doing. It sounds like, you know, you keep it simple and you take care of people and you're not cutting the corners and all that. I'm guessing you're not the cheapest in the Woodlands.
Don't try to be.
Don't try to be. Don't want to be, right?
Correct. We offer too much to be the cheapest.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, all our local moves, we provide free valuation, free insurance. Mm-hmm. You know, if it breaks, we're going to fix it. No questions asked. Whereas most of the other movers don't offer that, or will offer it, but for charge.
And you have all the backing of, you know, bonding and insurance and all of that, certificates that people,
absolutely.
You know.
Workers' comp, general liability.
What happens when you get that, you know, you have a item that you're carrying out, you know, somebody says, well, I brought this table over from Europe, you know, and my great aunt in 62 and, you know, and I don't know, falls out, somebody slips on the stairs, it goes down, crack, boom, bash, you know, what happens?
We take it case by case. There's no certain rule of thumb to any of it other than...
You put it back together or pay for it or make them happy one way or another.
One way or the other. Yes,
all right. Sir. All right. Okay. So tell us a little bit about the organization of the company. And do you guys have divided roles and responsibilities, or how does that work for y'all?
I mostly do all the work.
There you go. The truth comes out.
Yeah, Larry's giving him a bad case of stink eye right now. Yeah.
I do most of the sales. That's my job, running around town, doing estimates, knocking on doors.
And you know, if he doesn't do the sales, you guys got nothing to do.
That's right.
So you bring him coffee, whatever he needs.
And I come in on
weekends. Put some armor all on his tires every Friday. Right? So, okay, so you're over sales, and what about Jack?
All I do, quite frankly, is give them advice that they don't want once in a while.
Okay.
But when they have a move job that might be coming out of the College Station Bryan area, I'll go out and make a survey for them.
Okay, so you're the seasoned sage. Are you kind of semi-retired?
I am semi-retired. I teach part-time at Blinn in Bryan.
Okay, mm-hmm. What do you teach?
Small business management, entrepreneurship.
Oh, well, you should have told us that. That's so exciting. So we have...
I feel a kinship to Dr. John over
here. That's right.
So. Yeah, well, that's exciting. So So do you have a, is that a broad topic, or do you focus in on a certain part of it, finance, or?
No, mine's an introductory class.
Okay.
Keep in mind, I'm teaching freshmen, sophomores.
Yeah.
So
you're just trying to tell them, okay, here's what a P&L is, here's what a balance sheet is, here's basic stuff, right?
Well, yeah, a little bit. It's really more about how you get into business, what it's going to take to get started into business. Then once you're in business, what you have to manage. Mm-hmm. People, marketing, those kind of things.
What do you guys find when the students, you know, are they, I mean, how do you find they're pretty green, you know, or, you know, now there's so much, they've got YouTube and Shark Tank and all this stuff, you know, or do you find some of them kind of savvy?
The ones that are interested in business, I do. Not all of them in the door wanting that.
Yeah, there's all different kinds because some of them are really quite savvy. Some of them have their own little businesses going on. They've got a website. They're doing something with it. So some of them are really pretty far advanced on a lot of the things. I think the main skill that most of them lack is the how to obtain financing, how to understand the finances. A lot of them don't understand cash flow. That's a hard thing for them to understand.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good. Well, thank goodness for you guys. You know, when I went to school and graduated from San Houston State, I'm sure I would have taken the entrepreneurship degree plan if it had been offered. And so now that students have the opportunity to learn business skills in college, I think that's a great for those that want to do that. So I'd like to ask either one of you this question about what advice would you give a young aspiring entrepreneur who's not yet found the confidence or the validation to go get their start? What would you tell them, Jack?
I think what I would want them to do is find an area or type of business they think they'd have an interest in and go to work in that business.
Mm-hmm.
First off, they'll find out whether they like that particular type of business or not and would have an interest in pursuing it further. And they can learn how that business is run, not necessarily mm-hmm. the right way, but how it's run, what it takes to be involved in that type of business. To me, nothing's worse than maybe getting involved in a business you own, whether you start it from scratch or you buy one, that you end up not liking that business.
Yeah.
And that happens.
That's a good point.
I would agree. You know, my I have a 21-year-old son, and he came up here and worked with me a while. I don't know if it was me or whatever. He said, "Dad, I'm not sure I want to do this." And I said, "Well, go, you know, finish your degree and figure it out." And yeah, and I think a lot of young people are worried about getting pigeonholed into, you know, a sort of position. But yeah, we did a show just recently, and the lady's a big event promoter here in the Woodlands, and you know, she worked 10 years in the business for somebody else before she went in. And, you know, that what you're talking about, Jack, is you know, learning some skill sets before you mm-hmm. necessarily go try to jump in and start a company, you know, your first day out of high school or college.
Probably mm-hmm. about 50% of the people that end up in a particular ownership of a business have spent some time in that business before.
Yeah. And people sometimes have a romantic idea about what a business is, whether it be, I want to own a bar someday. Well, they don't know everything that's involved in that. And so to work there, like, I think what Jack's saying is so wise, because then you find out, do you like really being there all day? Do you like do you see all the things that the owner has to do? Is that really what you want to do?
I think so. I've worked in real estate before. I've owned my own real estate company. Quite frankly, I don't care to do real estate.
Mm-hmm.
I've sold businesses in business brokerage, very similar to real estate, but really those weren't my bag. So
I've got a question for Bobby, if I could ask him. You know, because you're involved in the sales for the most part and going out and doing estimates. My question is, where do you guys get your leads? What kind of marketing activities do you – or let me ask it this way. What marketing activity do you think is the most effective for you guys in terms of bringing in customers?
I would say our number excuse me, number one would be postcards that we sent mail out to homes that are for sale.
Oh, okay.
Number two, referrals. That's a big one. And three, website. Then it goes down from there.
Your own website.
Yes, sir.
Are you guys are you guys like listed on Angie's List and things like that? Do people go to those types of websites to look for a mover, do you find, or not?
Yes, sir. They do.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And are you, so I assume you're listed on those types of things?
Correct.
Okay.
BBB, We're listed with them. Some people will go straight to the BBB, or they go to the Conroe Chamber or the Woodlands Chamber, because we're a member of both.
Okay, so I have a question. I'm guessing that in your busy season, you got probably lots of moves going on, maybe at the same time, right?
Right.
Lots of people, different places, different things like that. How do you manage all of that? Do you use some sort of systems or processes, or, you know, how do you kind of bring some order to the chaos?
Well, like I said, most of my time spent out running the roads trying to get the business, and Larry over there handles the logistics part of it. And the number one thing that we've done that my dad's always done is never overbook intentionally. And that's another way we are able to perform better moves for people.
Yeah, so you give up some potential profits that you might make in exchange for better
service.
Relationships with the ones you have. So it's kind of like you got to make your bet of where you think you're going to be best off in the long run. And here's a guy, here's a company that's been around 50 years. So I think there's a lesson, a huge takeaway from a listener here is like, and you've heard me say that here, Catherine, in our own businesses, you know, we take care of the ones that we've got, and they're going to bring us the ones that we need.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, we live in a world of where people expect to be disappointed, I think, right? They kind of that's the expectation. So bringing them something different, that's exciting. So Dr. John, you had another question?
Yeah, I'm just curious about, the name of the company is Transfer and Storage. I'm kind of curious about the storage side of things. Has that always been a part of your business, or is that something that you started a few years ago? And tell me about, like, so who stores things and what do they store and how does that work for you guys?
Jack, I think y'all have always stored, right?
Yes, there was always a warehouse.
Was it always like temporary storage? Because there's storage things. Now when I think of storage, I think of these places that you see that where people put stuff on a sort of almost a permanent basis.
Or like a cube. They have the cube stuff now,
yeah,
right?
Cube Smart or something. But do people just come and bring their stuff to store long term, or is it just a temporary thing and while they're between moves or something?
While they're sell their home, they need storage, we'll go there, we'll actually inventory every item, load it, bring it to our warehouse. And they don't have a key to it. We control the key.
Okay.
It's in our care and custody. And they won't come and go to get one piece. When they're ready for it, we'll take it, deliver it all at one time.
Okay. Have you ever thought about doing the other storage type of storage?
Sure.
Yeah.
A couple times.
Okay. How about, tell us a little bit about your thoughts on work ethic. What do you think that is important for a listener when they think about work ethic?
Well, you got to get out there and get after it. And
what's that mean?
That means every day you've always got to be looking for something new, meeting new people, or working with the relationships that you have, building better relationships.
Mm-hmm. Hustling,
rubbing elbows.
Yeah. Yeah. So, do you have the business now where you can enjoy a little, you know, time off occasionally, and you know, if you want to go fishing or deer hunting, or you know, go to the beach or something, do you get some time off, or
Definitely.
Is it just?
Oh, we do. And what makes it nice is that me and my brother work together, and so while I'm out enjoying what I like to do, he can manage the business without me, and vice versa.
Can you guys go somewhere together, or is it just that's
not
dangerous?
Usually.
Yeah, so you plan your vacation separately.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good to know. How do you keep yourself motivated? Is that just something that you feel like you kind of have within you, or do you keep yourself motivated in any kind of certain way?
You know, I like what I do. I like meeting new people. I like taking care of people, making them smile, getting patted on the back for doing a good job. That's mm-hmm. what motivates me, and I think most of our man and Larry.
Where do you guys see the business down the road? And
I like to see it in my son's hand and my brother's son.
Mm-hmm. Would you expand any new markets or anything like that, or do you talk about that once in a while? Or
we talk about it, but we don't try to grow too fast. Mm-hmm. We never have. We like to have complete control of our business, and we feel like it works better that way for us.
Mm-hmm.
But what are some of the challenges in family and business, you know, the family dynamics, you know, in business? Because you guys are little, y'all, which one of y'all is older? Me. You or Larry?
Me.
Okay.
Larry hates that question.
So, so y'all were probably beating up on each other when you were knee high to a grasshopper ever since then, right? And now you're business partners, but you're brothers. How does those family dynamics all shake out? You know, is it sometimes... Tell us about it.
Shakes out pretty good as long as he listens to what I have to say.
I mean, yeah, we could be real here on the show. You know, is there ever some fireworks, you know?
Not too bad. Not like you might think. He does his thing. I do my thing. We'll butt heads every now and then. And I'm out there trying to sell jobs, and he's telling me, look, we can't. You know, we're not going to do it because we ain't got enough people, we ain't got enough trucks, whatever it might be.
Okay, so I'm gonna ask this guy, are you business partners? Are you 50-50?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so what happens when you're at an impasse? Okay, if you're a 50-50 partner and he don't give a flip that you're the bigger brother, that you're firstborn, what happens when you're at an impasse? What's your mechanism for a decision that maybe you both don't agree on?
We arm wrestle.
Has that not happened?
Not too much, really. It never gets to that.
You found a way to work it out. Yes, sir. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. You know,
is there when you do have a big decision about, I don't know, buying equipment or whatever, is it just you and Larry that sit down and talk about it? Or you bring in your uncle, or what kind of people get involved in a big decision?
Well, on the truck side of it, of course, our men, our drivers, let us know when it's maybe time for a new tractor, trailer, equipment. We'll bring Jack in maybe at the, you know, tail end of it.
Yeah, when it doesn't matter.
They've already committed.
Trying to make you feel good. So do you guys lease all this stuff or do you buy it and own it?
No, we own it.
You buy it and you own it.
We usually buy all our tractors.
Does your business own real estate?
Yes, sir.
Okay, which is like storage facility?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay, that's an interesting
property.
The producer says that we need to run to a commercial break, and we've got more questions for you. Don't go away. You're listening to the Shrimp Tank Podcast, and don't forget you can download a complete replay of the show at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com. According to a recent Forbes business article, 9 out of 10 business owners are overpaying their taxes. Ouch! Contact the team at Provident and explore how you can pay only what you are legally, morally, and ethically required to pay. Overpaying your taxes, that's just terrible. After a simple consultation, we'll determine if we could substantially reduce your tax burden. If so, we'll develop a tax savings blueprint. Visit us online at providentwealthllc.com, or you can call us at the office, 281-466-4843. And we are back live at the Shrimp Tank, broadcasting in studio. We got the Adams family, Jack, Larry, Bobby, Adams Transfer and Storage Company, and our esteemed producer, the lovely Miss Catherine Bates, along with Dr. John.
Dr. John.
I got plenty of Bobbies today. So we got some more questions for you guys. We're having a lot of fun. We're learning about your business. We're impressed. A family legacy business with some young sons growing up, and it was your grandfather that started the business.
Correct.
So it would be your son's great grandfather. So
correct.
One, two, four generations.
Yes, sir.
Unbelievable. I think that says. I think that we know that tells me we can learn something from you guys. Right.
Yep.
So, Dr. John,
I've got a question. Let's say you guys have a great reputation in the area. But let's say that I'm somebody that's working and I get transferred out of state, or I get transferred to Europe. Can you guys help me with that kind of a move if I'm moving out of state?
Yes, sir.
Let's just say that I'm going to move to California.
Okay, absolutely.
Okay, that's kind of out of the country, isn't it?
Well, yeah.
We saw Donald Trump's wall is going to just cut California off, you know? Yeah.
Let me
make them part of Mexico.
Let me ask another question about If I'm a potential customer of yours, you guys come in to estimate my the job. What drives the cost of a moving job? In other words, when you have to estimate, what are the things that make something either an expensive move or a relatively inexpensive move?
And on a out of state move is based on mileage and weight, and the amount of packing that you're going to have. Mm-hmm. And of course, so the more you have, the more it is.
If somebody asks you to box everything for them, pack it for them, does that basically improve the profitability of the job for you, or does it make it worse?
No, it definitely improves it.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm going to ask a question, and either of you can respond. And I want you to be as real and transparent as you can. So when we interview business owners, and we learn about their business, what my discovery's been, it's not always been sunshine and rainbows and, you know, buckets of money and profits every single day. Sometimes there's heart aches and setbacks and things like that. You care to comment about, you know, one or two maybe setbacks your business had, or a mistake that you might have made along the way that someone else could maybe benefit from, that, you know, maybe avoid a mistake? Or what's been the hardest time in your business?
I tell you, my hardest time is 8-9 years ago, when
2008,
Larry and I weren't without paychecks, just to be sure cover payroll first.
Uh-huh.
And then of course we got over that hump, but we had to go without. That was tough.
Yeah, you figured out how to do that somehow, and you didn't go ask your employees to go without.
No, they got paid.
They got paid. So how'd you manage?
We did fine. We made it. And luckily, neither one of us at that time, or at least I never, I'm always living below my means.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
It's mm-hmm. easier to do for me, but it was tough, but we proud that we made it through.
Yeah, just think about it. You know, I think you're talking about 2008.
Yes, sir.
And you know what? If you're living a life with a lot of leverage and debt, you know, a lot of people were set, you know, during that time and lost so much. So, you know, that you put yourself in a position to be able to make it through, tighten the belt up, ride through a tough time and stay standing. I'm sure some moving and storage companies folded during that time.
Many did.
Yeah, and that probably, you know, strengthened your position in the marketplace ultimately.
Yes, sir.
That's another great lesson. Mm-hmm. You know, leverage is that dual-edged sword. It'll make you rich. It'll make you broke. It can do either one. So you better use it in careful measure. So now, to have a business like this, you have to keep and maintain, good employees. What's the key to finding, hiring, and keeping good people?
I don't know. The ones we got that are good, we just end up keeping just because they just turn into family, and that's how we treat our employees. I mean, and it's tough to find good employees. I remember back 20, 30 years ago, every day we had people knocking on the door looking for work. We don't even have one person call a month looking for work anymore. I mean, it's very difficult.
Hmm.
It's all word of mouth, really, through our employees, where we find our help.
So you really haven't, you know what, you've taken good care of the ones that you had, and you haven't had to deal with lots of turnover and all of that.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty expensive when you think about dealing with turnover. So, yeah.
I don't know.
We pay a lot more for our drivers than, let me tell you, most movers do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
just because of the longevity they've been with us.
By the way, if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Shrimp Tank Podcast, broadcasting to you live from studio. We're with Adams Transfer and Storage Company, Jack, Larry, and Bobby Adams, and joining me in the studio is Dr. John Newbold of Sam Houston State University College of Business. And we had a couple of more questions, and Catherine's telling me 5 more minutes. We got to pull it together, right? So we have a couple of more questions for you, and then we'll start to wrap it up. Dr. John?
Well, we always ask a lot of the entrepreneurs about would you hire a family member or not? And we oftentimes get the answer, no way would I work. Now, you guys by design are a family business. What do you think is the main advantage of the fact that it's a family business? How does that make your business better?
Loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. I think it's always nice. Let's say Larry's got three kids, so we're going to have three more employees in about 15 years.
Yeah.
But, their succession plan is, born into the operation.
Well, there's continuity. You have to say that.
I always like to say, try not to hire family if we're in the office. But we do from time to time. We have one right now that's our manager, office manager. She's kin.
Mm-hmm.
So we all work very well together.
I have a couple of other questions here, but what would you say are some of the challenges that are unique to your business? You know, you have a very specific business that you do, and you have a lot of competition because, somebody can get in the moving business with a relatively small amount of money, right? And it's a good business. So you must have a tremendous amount of competition.
Lots of competition.
Yeah. I've often heard it said that any good business is a competitive business. But what are some of the challenges that you feel may be unique to your business? Seasonality or anything like that?
Yes, sir. Very seasonal.
Uh-huh. Does that mean, in effect, that sometimes you're really busy and sometimes you're slow? And then, it's like, how do you hold on to people when you're slow and all that?
Yes, sir. At summertime, we cannot cover all the business out there with all the movers. We're turning down business. And, of course, when school starts back up, that's when it starts to slow down again.
Mm-hmm.
Hope we made enough money to make it through.
Because you got to carry those fixed costs through that period, right?
That's right. We carry our employees all the way through. So
even
though we're going to drop some helpers, we still maintain the same crew, so we still have to make this payroll.
So it's managing cash flow and fixed cost in an environment where your cash flow is very erratic.
Right, and most of all our employees are hourly. They're full-time employees versus most of our competition is contract labor.
Yeah.
And so it...
You're doing more for people. Yeah, it costs you more, costs the house,
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And you're betting on the you guys, your family has made a good evidence of the business decisions that you've made, that if you build the goodwill and you build a relationship, that it will sustain your business and take you through those big dips and tough times.
And you've kind of talked about this a little bit, but when you're bidding for a job and you're bidding against one of these smaller competitors, like the Mo, Larry, and Curly movers, and your customer's saying, well, Mo, Larry, and Curly will move me for, 30% less than what you're quoting me. How do you respond? How do you explain to them, what they're getting?
My first question is, do they come out and visit with you and do a walkthrough? And is that price? And they usually say no. And the price that's given to them is not guaranteed. So every homeowner that I visit, I do a walkthrough and give them some type of guaranteed price that it will not exceed.
Okay.
And 9 times out of 10, the smaller mover, nothing wrong with them, are only given an hourly rate, usually over the telephone.
Mm-hmm.
They will not take the time to go out and visit.
Okay, so I'm picking up on something there, is that when you get a lead, you go out and meet with them, you get on your horse, you go ride, you go meet with that family, and you establish some rapport.
Yes.
And I believe that that's part of your secret sauce, is that the trust is created there and people get comfortable and they ultimately, pick you guys to work with.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. And you go out there and you meet with them, you build that rapport with no guarantee of any outcome of that meeting, as opposed to someone else that sits in the office and fires off a resume, not a resume, a bid, a quote, a proposal.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. So you're invest in your company that way.
Right. That's all I do all day long.
Yeah.
Yesterday I had 4 of them.
The other way sounds kind of lazy to me.
It is. Very. Yeah. And that's where the mover sends out 2 men in a small truck and they end up working till midnight and still not finish the job.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm going to look at it and I want my men back by 5 o'clock, like a normal job.
Maybe that's the good news. Your competition, by and large, you know, it's kind of a lazy, you know, society, right? Immediate gratification, want something for nothing. Isn't that a fantasy?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Tell your students, Dr. John, that you don't come CEO of Fortune 500
for nothing.
You don't get something for nothing, and the world owes you nothing. So that's me getting on my soapbox again. So, what a wonderful family story that we've heard here today with Adams Transfer and Storage Company. And I'd like to personally thank Jack, Larry, and Bobby for coming and sharing with us. And thank you for our executive producer, Ms. Catherine Bates, for producing our show. And also the College of Business, Sam Houston State University, and specifically Dr. John Newt, not Bobby, Dr. John, my friend, Dr. Newbold. And so don't forget, you can download a complete replay of this show at houston.shrimptankpodcast.com, and you're going to get them on iTunes too. Thank you guys for coming. We will see you here next week.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Shrimp Tank. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, but homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016. Like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general, from the front I'm a lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never. Going hard as ever, the results match the effort. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.